Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. Marriage, the joys of wedding season. This time of year is usually prime time for celebrating unions of all kinds. But for many couples, of course, the pandemic has meant a slow fade-out of their original wedding plans. With large gatherings mostly banned, as they pose a big health risk, how do you plan a wedding? And when the celebrations slow down, what does that mean for the wedding industry? So for the rest of this hour, we're going to take your calls. Are you planning a wedding in the midst of this pandemic? Have you had to downsize or postpone your wedding? Or have you gone through it despite the risk? Are you a guest debating whether or not you should attend a wedding? And because the wedding industry encompasses so many different businesses, we also want to hear from the folks who make these celebrations happen. Wedding planners, caterers, florists, venues, DJs, video and photographers. Call us. Everyone's invited. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us for today's conversation is Mandy Connors. She's the owner and lead planner at Hummingbird Bridal and Events. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mandy.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good. Also joining us is Meredith Goldstein. She's the person behind the Boston Globe's Love Letters column and podcast. Meredith, welcome back to you.
Hello.
Meredith, I want to start with you. You wrote about this early in the pandemic, about the uncertainty facing all of us, and especially those planning and working in weddings. How have things changed since the beginning of the pandemic?
Well, I think at the start of this, we just didn't know how long it was going to last. So people who had weddings in April were thinking about June, and that seemed possible then. Of course, as the weeks went on, it seemed like, oh, well, maybe this is going to be a fall event, or maybe this is being pushed back a year. So at the time, I interviewed wedding planners and people in the industry, people, stationers, you know, people who were putting out save the dates, you know, in some cases with big question marks on them.
And like literal question mark. Though.
Literal, like here's a plan B, here's a plan C. And at the time, a lot of the planners were telling me, you know, we need people to be flexible. We also suspect that 2021 is going to be very busy. And part of that might mean having weddings on Fridays, Thursdays, and maybe even Wednesdays. And as this, you know, I'll be curious to hear what a planner has to say, but as this year has gone on, as someone who's a frequent guest at weddings, I'm, you know, not married and have not had a wedding, but I love to be a good guest. I sort of like the idea that as we learn that we can work more flexibly, we can celebrate more flexibly. So, you know, I think people, as the year has gone on, people have said, oh, we're going to do this differently, or we're going to be really patient about waiting. The one big complaint I hear from people is that they're trying to get within a calendar year so that they can not lose out on deposits. So there is a financial piece of this, right? Like if they've already put down money, but you know, some people are really just saying, see you in 2022. Yeah. And if they can pull it off, you know, I think that's great. And it just seems like from what I've heard, the local wedding industry has been quite, you know, delightful about being flexible and trying to help couples as best they can.
So Mandy Connor, how about that?
Yeah, so we're obviously, it's an ever-changing landscape. And I'll tell you that as a wedding vendor, it is extremely challenging to keep up with the constant changing landscape. We're having to reinvent what a traditional wedding looks like. Obviously, with limitations on headcounts, not being able to have a dance floor, not being able to have a band, not being able to host a big bar, it really restricts the ways that we traditionally celebrate. So for us, we are having to pivot. And man, I am coming to hate that word.
But
we're having
we all?
We're having to pivot constantly to reinvent new ways to celebrate. We as humans love to celebrate big milestones. I don't see that changing anytime soon. But asking your guests, asking your couples, asking your vendors to reimagine how you see yourself celebrating this major milestone, it is taking a lot out of couples, but you're seeing a lot of people be very creative and very open-minded about how they're willing to celebrate such a big day.
1-800-423-8255 is the phone number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. How are you reimagining or rethinking your wedding in this time of COVID? Or how are you thinking about going to weddings as a guest? 1-800-423-8255. I do want to also ask you, Mandy, about that deposit issue that Meredith was talking about, because I know that finances is such a huge issue for anyone planning a wedding. And now for so many people who may be unemployed or underemployed or working from home, there's just so much financial strain out there. So how are you and other folks balancing that?
It's a very complicated issue. I mean, we could take a 3-hour show to really dive into all the intricacies of understanding how deposits work. This is a cottage industry of small businesses. You don't find mega businesses in the wedding industry. It's all artisans, boutique companies, small businesses. For small business owners, you have a very strict cash flow. Particularly with a seasonal business, we make all of our money in New England, essentially between May and October. Once October hits, you see a sharp decline in the number of weddings, and really that's the time that couples are spending planning for next year. So for small business vendors to be asked, you know, let's say the standard wedding photographer, if they've got cancellations coming in, we're not talking about people who are postponing. We're talking about couples who are outright canceling and coming back and saying, we'd like a full deposit refunded back to us. Who's got that kind of cash flow available to be refunding deposits of 30, 40 clients? I mean, we're talking, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in liquid assets for a small business to have available. That sort of request will put small businesses out of business overnight.
Yeah, so actually, and to that point, our producer, Paris Alston, spoke with Chrissy Price. She runs Boston Pollen and is a floral designer. And she said, she talked to us about how she and others are trying to stay afloat while being sensitive to the fact that this can be a hard financial time for clients.
One of the really important things that we discussed as an industry was trying to ask our clients to reallocate their budgets instead of reduce them, or to limit their reductions to 10% or less, so that we wouldn't lose income further.
So Meredith Goldstein from the Boston Globe, I mean, has this maybe given permission to folks to maybe scale back their expensive wedding plans were?
It really has. And I think part of that is that some tastemakers and influencers and celebrities, you know, we've seen this on Instagram this season, people who've posted a picture of themselves on their doorstep, you know, that they did this with just two people and the pictures are great from afar. And that's all they did. And maybe it's a celebrity who might have had a very big wedding in a different time. So I do think that gives permission in the sense that suddenly it also feels like a trend. I mean, it's so funny because as an advice columnist who hears from people when they are unhappy in relationships, I have always had this idea that everyone should get engaged and then wait 5 years to get married. And if you still want to do it, go right ahead. So I love this idea that for some people, they are spending the money, they are not asking for that money back, and they are saying, you know what, we are willing to have a long engagement and wait, and we're going to celebrate when everybody's there.
I would also hope this pandemic is in 5 years long, Meredith.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not, right? So, and sorry, don't want to scare anybody. I mean, I think what's also interesting, and Mindy, I would love to know what you think about this, is often the questions I get off the record are from family and friends who have been invited to an event, and they feel as though health considerations aren't being taken. You know, what if I don't feel comfortable going? So how do you advise couples on how to make guests feel safe or not guilty if they can't go to something that is planned?
Well, I actually want to go to a caller here who is planning a wedding. We have Annie calling from Framingham. Annie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Hi, Meredith. I love your column. So I am calling to say that I found a hidden blessing in all of this. We're getting married next Saturday, so 10 days. We were originally going to have our wedding in a hall with 76 people. Now it's 17 people in my backyard. And the hidden blessing is that my dog can now be the ring bearer.
So you sound like a happy bride. So I guess you found the silver lining here, right, Annie?
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people are doing what we're going to do. In 1 year, on the anniversary, we're going to have the actual party, hopefully, that we wanted, and we're going to renew our vows.
That's very sweet. Thanks for the call, Annie.
Thank you.
So, Mandy, but of course, then that means, you know, you don't need a wedding planner, right, if you're doing it in your backyard.
Absolutely. Certainly, you know, there, now is the time, once so many of the couples out there have gotten over the initial shock of having to move and readjust their weddings, there's a reevaluation. Where do your priorities lie? What do you really want to celebrate? I see a lot of couples embracing the concept of an elopement and a micro wedding. There used to be such a stigma attached to elopements, and we're seeing that actually elopements and micro weddings are something to really get excited about. I would say sit down with your significant other and reevaluate your priorities. You can have the greatest, most luxurious celebration you can possibly imagine if you're only hosting 20 people rather than 200. Imagine putting all of your budget into something that is completely over the top and completely memorable in every way, rather than hosting a really huge celebration where maybe you've got to make cuts and make negotiations because budget is a lot tighter when spread over 200 guests. So when I talk to my couples, when I talk to other couples out there, I'm encouraging you, reevaluate your priorities for the day. Maybe you want to elevate the luxury of the day. Maybe you want to elevate the situation. It really is a good opportunity to reevaluate how you think about celebrations.
So I actually want to hear some tape here from Josh Rezenkoff. He just got married last weekend to his wife, Michelle, and he talked to our producer, Paris Alston, about how much planning and communication with family had to go into pulling the wedding off.
You know, I can't stress enough, like, how many private conversations were had. Like, you don't want that one crazy cousin to show up who's like, hey, just here to get loose. And so there was a lot of family work that went into making sure that this was a safe event. Really take a lot of joy in the fact that you're going to celebrate this special moment, like this huge, huge transformative moment in your life, and that you get to share that with your nearest and dearest. Maybe not your nearest and dearest 300 friends.
1-800-423-8255. So Meredith Goldstein, this idea that you could have 100 people at a, depending on the venue, at an outdoor site, right? According to the governor's orders.
Yes.
But how do you, you know, let's say you have a big Italian family. How do you get that number to 100? And how do you negotiate, as Josh was talking about, with your family members about their safe behavior? And how do you just juggle all those things?
I mean, I think it's a time for real boundaries, because let's say you have a guest list of 100 and that's all you've ever wanted, but half of those people are high risk or perhaps don't feel comfortable coming. I think this is not the time for grudges. If you want to have your wedding, you have to accept that people might not want to be there live. They might want to be there on Zoom. They might want to celebrate with you at a later date. So I think, you know, what I keep telling people is no mind reading, no passive aggressiveness. If you're a couple and you're doing this, expect to hear some no's from people who love you dearly. And it has nothing to do with not loving you, not coming, you know. And so you have to be ready to, you know, be the central unit at the party. And whoever can feel comfortable coming, that's great. But it might not be everybody.
I want to go to one more caller here if we can fit them in. Tiffany is calling from Rowley. Tiffany.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
So we actually own a venue here in Raleigh, the Bradstreet Farm, and we've been working with our clients to successfully have a few weddings here under the guidelines and working really hard. And so one of the grooms just mentioned this, super important for communication. Can't stress it enough to communicate with the vendors, your guests, your family.
Yeah, how have you been doing, weddings, Tiffany?
Yeah, so we've been working with our local Board of Health agents very closely ever since this actually broke, started having communication conversations with them about what these guidelines were going to be. And obviously we didn't know until we knew. And then we just worked as a team to make sure that we could deliver it and just had a clear line of communication and full transparency with our clients about what was allowed and what is not allowed, and then how we would pivot, you know, how we could do things, how we could give them the wedding that they were hoping for within the bounds of the guidelines and doing so safely.
Have you taken a financial hit, Tiffany?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've gone down to just a handful of weddings, and we were supposed to have dozens and dozens and dozens this year.
Does that mean you had to cut staff?
Yeah, unfortunately, but we have an amazing team that's going to come back with us next year, and we're ready to roll next year as soon as we're allowed to do so.
Tiffany, thanks for the phone call.
One of the things that I did want to mention, though, is just that there's a big difference in the industry and a continuing conversation about deposits versus payments.
Yeah.
And the planner did such a nice job about discussing deposits and such, but it's really important to note that a lot of us don't take deposits, we take payments.
Got it.
And so that's been an ongoing conversation that we've all had about how we deal with that.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your phone call. You know, I can't help but keep thinking about these financial impacts and the jobs that are lost. And I know this is a huge industry. Meredith, you know, it's the DJs, it's the videographers, it's the photographers.
It's so many people. It's so many people. But here's one piece of good news I'll say. The research I've done about what happens after world events and natural disasters and things that really change us is that a lot of people get married. It's not just divorce statistics that go up. A lot of people get married. So I just keep thinking that when we come out of this, we might see far more marriages than we would have seen with great big weddings. And I hope so many people are employed as this happens. So that's what I keep holding on to for the industry, because I think it's such a wonderful, beautiful industry with so many talented artistic people. So it's what I'm holding on to.
Well, I want to squeeze in one more caller here if we can. Emily from Newton, if you could be very brief. Emily, go ahead.
Yeah, so my husband and I got married in my parents' backyard in Newton in May, and we had all of our guests on Zoom. And what was really great about it is that we really got to spend time with our close family and friends, and it was incredible. So encourage going with it in the crazy times.
Try something new, a wedding on Zoom. Thank you, Emily. In just our last few minutes here, yeah, where are you finding hope in all this? I know, Meredith, you just mentioned that, so Mandy Connor.
Yeah, so I think that this has given all of the artisans, all of the small business owners in the industry time to breathe, time to refocus ourselves on new services and new offerings. The wedding industry has been around for so long, and it was due for a shakeup. It was time for us to be challenged and to rethink how we can reimagine services that we offer clients. So this has, I think it has pushed creatives to be more creative, to think outside of the box, and to reimagine how we can honor your celebration in a time of a pandemic, you know, with loads of restrictions in front of us.
And it could be good for folks who, you know, maybe couldn't afford a wedding in the first place. Maybe now is the time to do it, right, Meredith?
Absolutely.
In our final moments here, Meredith Goldstein, I also just want to ask you, what do you say to that cousin who just won't give it up, just wants to come and wants to party?
Wear a mask.
wear a mask. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay far away. You know, you can party alone many feet away.
All right, that's Meredith Goldstein. She is the woman behind the Boston Globe's Love Letters column and podcast. Meredith, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Mandy Connor, she's the owner and lead planner at Hummingbird Bridal and Events. Mandy, thank you so much as well.
Thanks so much, Jamie.